Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Do you want me to do some thank yous before we bring in our guests?
Yes, I would love to do that. Please handle that. People want to hear you talk about food and things.
Oh, my God. The food today provided by our guys at By Deuces and the Diamond Club. And I tell you, I've seen a lot of menus, and all the scoreheads here can certainly
Terry, you've been around a lot of menus.
Oh, my God. And it's called Uncle Terry's Tasting Menu, lobster truffle mac and cheese, ballpark barbecue sliders, aged cheddar, chipotle barbecue, bourbon bacon, onion rings, carnitas sliders, grilled pineapple relish, fire roasted salsa, pickle brine fried chicken and a biscuit, duck sausage, I knew him, country gravy, Andalay crisps, salted butterscotch, banana bacon, Nutella churros.
You're reading the menu. We're starting to do the Jiggets and North Show.
Well, they brought all the food for the kids. I mean, you give them their props, man. It's terrific.
McNeil and Boers reunited, and as Old Home Week continues, let's bring in one of the most successful and popular sportscasters
in American history.
He's Dan Patrick, joining us on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Hey, Dan, how are you?
Can you continue with the menu? I was writing it down. I didn't get everything yet.
How are you, my friend?
That's quality radio right there. That's quality radio.
Hey, I'm just doing the best I can. I'm old.
Yeah, as one of our guys said a little while ago, it's amazing this isn't still on the air after we had a moment like that.
There's a reason why it's still not on the air.
Yeah. Did you enjoy the All-Star game last night? Did you bother with it?
Yeah. You know what? I'm well past the, it's not the game I grew up with, or it's not going to be where the NFL is or the NBA. I just said, you know, step back, enjoy it, watch it, and stop trying to compare it to, you know, your love for the Big Red Machine in 1975. And watching the young talent that was out there, and you know, it's not the same kind of competition. It's not the same kind of All-Star, and it's, you know, the competitive level is only there in the latter part of the innings, it feels like. But it was a celebration. I think baseball should feel pretty good about what happened with the Home Run Derby and what happened with the All-Star game last night. I thought it was fun, fresh faces, and maybe turning the corner and just, you know, people embracing it for what it is instead of what it used to be.
And you think, Dan, when you look at it, that is exactly what baseball is, that game. That is your perfect little bit of baseball. If you haven't watched much baseball or you don't pay much attention and you just happen to sitting around and here comes the All-Star game, you got a taste for exactly what baseball is. And I'm with you. I don't care what era it is. I mean, there's some really terrific, talented players. I enjoy that. But, I mean, that was the perfect game for this era of baseball.
Yeah, and the vibe there in D.C., because I was down there for the weekend and, in fact, came back yesterday to watch the game, and there was just a different feel to it. And even being there batting practice for Home Run Derby, and you could just tell that there were guys who understood, let's sell the game, present the game, let's not be afraid of this, let's have fun with this. But then let's also show, you know, we're just as talented as any other generation. And when you think about it, man, there are a lot of guys who are 26 and under who, if you look at them now and their stocks, you're buying all of those stocks right now. So it's an interesting time for baseball. And I know that we keep trying to figure out, well, how do you get the millennials? And I don't have any answers to that. But I know it's hard for me now to just sit through an entire game. I find that I watch matchups, or if Scherzer's pitching, or when, you know, Sale is pitching. Like, there's certain guys that I'll tune in just to watch him. DeGrom, I'll watch him pitch. If, you know, the Yankees are playing, I'll wait for Giancarlo Stanton or Judge to come up. So it's like I'm picking and choosing, and it's almost like I'm acting like a millennial, where, hey, I'm not going to watch the whole thing, but I'm going to pick and choose what I want to watch.
I'd rather talk about the Big Red Machine, frankly.
No, you wouldn't.
I loved the Big Red Machine. Are you kidding? I wrote a story about it for my grade school newspaper.
That's a classic. Yeah, we're happy for you.
Oh, isn't it?
That's a classic.
I mean, I'll go. I'll match Dan Patrick question for question about a Jack Billingham or a Freddie Norman.
You know, I asked Arnold Palmer this question. I'll ask Dan Patrick the same question. And I asked him. I said, Arnold, and he was still alive then, because I haven't talked to him lately. But I said, Arnold, what is it like every day to wake up to be a damn legend? And I would ask you that same question, because that's what you are, sir, in the history of sports and sports radio and sports television and everything else. You are a legend.
You're blushing.
What the hell is wrong with you? What are you talking about?
I'm drinking.
What are you doing? Are you drinking?
No. I mean it. I think there's a certain guys, and we were talking about the milepost of radio and how it's changed sports, and then this changed sports, and now there's a million sports shows, and all the other things that have changed over low these many years. But you're part of almost every generation of it. Your presence has been a consistent for a lot of people listening to this right now, and probably most of them. And that's what I say when I don't hand out the title of legend easily. I meant that. That's what you are.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. But if I ever woke up and thought it, then I don't think I would approach the day or my job the same way, that you sit back and go, if anything, you raise the level and then you must maintain the level or exceed the level. And you can't do that if you just sit back and go, let me open up my scrapbook here and let me tell you what Overman and I did in 1996. Nobody cares about that. But, you know, when it's all said and done, when I'm done with this, then, you know, it'd be fun to reflect back. Because I was very, very fortunate to be around some great events and be on the front lines with that. And, I never took it for granted. You know, as I told Danny, you know, every time Jordan came in after they'd won a title, like I never took it for granted. I knew it would end one day, but I still had the greatest basketball player who added to his resume, who's there and we're live TV and let's go. Or if I'm handing out the Super Bowl trophy, which, you know, I've done five times, I never took it for granted and never said, you know, let me just sort of mail this in, because that's when you fall on your sword. And, I've been fortunate for the most part to stay upright with this.
You know, you mentioned handing out the Super Bowl trophy, and as I was listening to you, that's what I was going to ask you about. If there was a moment where you kind of just stepped back and said, damn, there I am. I've been doing this for a long time, but here I am. I have
tens
of millions of people watching, and I'm interviewing Ohio State product Santonio Holmes after his acrobatic catch in the end zone. That had to just blow you away.
The first time I did it, I didn't tell anybody in my family. So this is Steelers and Arizona. Mm-hmm. And I'm watching on the sidelines. Larry Fitzgerald scores a touchdown. Now, I think Arizona is going to win. I have to get ready for Arizona to be up on the podium. And I'm thinking, okay, is Larry Fitzgerald up there? Is Kurt Warner up there? And, Bidwell up? Like, who's going to be up there? And all of a sudden, my mind's racing. And I'm on the sidelines, and I see Steve Young. And Steve goes, wait, what are you doing? What's wrong? I go, I think I'm going to interview the Cardinals. They're going to win. And he goes, no. Ben's got this. I go, what? And so I watched the final two-minute drive with Steve Young doing play-by-play in color of a two-minute drill to win a Super Bowl and have one of the great throws of all time. So it was such a memorable moment, because I got a Hall of Famer telling me, he's so impressed with what Roethlisberger's doing. Holmes catches it. I go down to the end of the in the end zone. They're putting up the podium, and all of a sudden, I'm on the podium. The commissioner, they're bringing the trophy in, and then I don't even know who the MVP is. Nobody's told me. So I'm yelling down onto the field, and I'm saying, who's the MVP? Like, who's the MVP? I got Roethlisberger up there. Got Mr. Rooney up there. I got Coach Tomlin up there. I got Holmes up there, the commissioner. And I think Ben thinks he's the MVP, which he should have been, but I think he thinks he's the MVP. And I yell down, I said, who is the MVP? And then somebody yells up, Holmes! And like 20 seconds later, my mic is hot, and I'm talking, there's 110 million people watching, and I'm going, oh my God. You know, if people only knew behind the scenes. And I just remember I walked off that after handing out the trophy, and all of a sudden my phone blew up with my brothers and my sisters, and they were like, you're handing out the Super Bowl trophy. Like, I was? Are you kidding me? I didn't know that. And it's one of those moments, it's one of the best moments I ever had, because I came from a small town in Ohio, and I'm handing out the Super Bowl trophy, and it was just one of those surreal moments. But I had to stay in the moment. When I was out of the moment, I'm walking past the confetti, all the, you know, the players and families, and I'm all by myself. I just went from the all-time high you could have in this business to I'm walking into a trailer to sit down to watch a re-air of the show The Office. You know, I was in the trailer, ESPN trailer, by myself. I just sat there and I went, I don't know what just happened. And but if you look at all of it, you know, if you put it all together, I got Steve Young doing play-by-play in color, Ben with the play, on the podium, who's the MVP, here's the trophy, and then I walk off, and then you just go back and go, oh, my God, I don't know what just happened. And then my brothers and sisters seeing it in real time was pretty incredible. One of the great, great moments I ever had.
Very cool. Dan Patrick with us with McNeil and Boers on Sports Radio 670. The Score, last day of the Heavy Fuel Crew reunion, last of three. And I just want to give Dan credit for using podium properly. They were building the podium. He was on the – so many people called the lectern the podium. I'm just tickled. Dan was at Dayton the day they taught linguistics. Nice job.
Allegedly. You know, hey, Terry, Danny and I had a great time a couple of weeks ago where we just went down memory lane, and I told him, and I sincerely mean this, of how much fun I had with you guys back in the 90s, that you almost took my mind off of what I was doing, because, at the time you get caught up in how important it is, and I really thought that I was the person who was conducting these interviews with Phil and Michael, and this was historical, you know. Mm-hmm. I was chronicling, you know, these championships and doing it in an interview form, and like I was full of myself, like this is a big deal. And you guys gave me so much levity, and I just remember I needed it, because I think I got so into my head of trying to make these interviews great with Jordan and Phil, or whoever it came in after games. But man, did we laugh. We laughed so hard a couple of weeks ago, and it brought back great memories. So the levity you provided is certainly not lost on me.
Oh, that's very sweet. Terry's America's friend. I mean, how can you not laugh at Terry? And how can you not laugh at Rosie Greer as Dan Jiggetts, or Dan Jiggetts as Rosie Greer?
Oh, man. It was such a great way to decompress where, you know, you just got done. And I always look forward to it. And I would be like, I didn't know how many times I'd run into you guys, but I knew when I did, I was going to have a great time.
You know, hearing you talk about your internal wrestling match, you're a bit of a tortured artist, aren't you?
A little bit, yeah. I just started being able to sort of celebrate when you do something or right after you do something. I never wanted to win awards, because I thought if I won an award, I was a bad a husband or father. Like it was weird, because I was working second shift and I was so into my job. And I remember I was nominated for a sports Emmy. I don't think I won it, but I was feeling like I don't want to get up there. If I win, I'm going to be terrible saying something, because I don't want to win it. It feels like if I do, then I've totally abandoned my family and my wife. And I was going to feel really crappy about it. So that's weird. I'm a little better now at celebrating it, because I realize that the end is, you know, sooner than later. But yeah, a long time. And I never, ever satisfied. Ever, ever. And
see, that's what makes
it's
it
not
though.
A great
that's what
business
you have
to be in to be
I,
like that.
I get that. I mean, I understand that. I mean, maybe not to that level of torture, but
I heard
torture to it.
I heard Howard Stern not too long ago talking about how it's just a shame he hasn't been able to enjoy any of his enormous success over the years.
Yep.
You've done his show, right?
Yeah, I've been on. But I understand it, you know, that you're – it's just weird. I always felt like I had – to prove myself constantly, and then you never take a step back and enjoy it, because I always thought somebody is somebody's going to be better, gaining on me. Somebody's going to do it better. They're going to find out that I'm not that good. And I used to watch every single Sports Center that I did. I get done with the show, and I now, and we were, by all accounts, doing it at a pretty high level in the mid '90s when I was there with Keith.
So I think that's fair. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I was looking to see what I did wrong, and not what I did right. And so I would get done with the show, grab the tape, go up and watch the entire show in the newsroom. And then I just stopped and I went, what am I looking for? Because then you do the show to not make mistakes. And that's a terrible way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wanted to be perfect. And then I realized, be you. And the imperfections were what Keith and I learned to embrace. There was one night I forgot to put my microphone on.
That's problematic.
We started the show and I didn't have my microphone on. Because I'm so caught up and I got to get these I got the first highlight. Oh my God. And I start the show and you can just see my mouth moving. And Keith takes his microphone and puts it on my tie. And then I start doing my highlights. I get done. And then Keith waves to me like, can I have my microphone back? Takes the microphone back and puts it on his tie. But those moments made me think, God, you know, nobody cares. Nobody's got a scorecard here. Mm-hmm. Have fun with this. And by the time I started to have fun with it, that's when Keith started to, you know, feel like he had to leave. And but it was a great lesson in enjoy the moment and embrace. If you make a mistake, you make a mistake. But I didn't do that for a long, long, long time.
Wow. The pressure of having a guy like Bill Pito or John Buccigross breathing down your neck.
Literally, I'm afraid. You know, here's the
thing.
Yeah,
but I went from CNN where, you know, it was never about you at CNN.
Right.
You know, it was the world's most important network. That was their slogan. And so I was brought up in present the sports, let the sports be the star. Your job is just, you know, you're the conduit. And I took that to ESPN with, you know, that same kind of mentality. And that's when Berman was at his peak. And I just said, like, I'll never be able to be like that, have that personality or put myself out there. And I just kind of presented it. And I was always the straight guy on the air, but off the air, you know, I had fun. And Oberman finally said, dude, why don't you act the way you do off the air, on the air? And I go, okay. And then after that, I was like, let's just go. Let's just have fun and see what the hell happens there. And whether it lasts 2 weeks, you know, 2 years or 10 years, let's go. And so there are a couple of those moments that were watershed moments for me.
Dan, who will the Cubs face in the World Series? It is the Cubs, right?
Well, yeah, he hasn't said that. Let him say. Maybe it's not going to be the Cubs.
You know what? I don't see them going to the World Series, but I think part of that is they've been sneaky great this year, which is interesting. Everybody moved past the Cubs story because they won the World Series, so it's like, all right, we're past that. Mm-hmm. If the Cubs hadn't won the World Series, there'd be all this attention on the Cubs this year, so it might be to their benefit that you kind of go, I forgot about it today. You know, Paulie, my producer, goes, you know, Cubs do have the best record because the Dodgers, I think, are now favored to go to the World Series with Machado. And he goes, but the Cubs have the best record in the National League. And then you're like, oh, that's right. The Cubs are, oh, that's right. Cubs play, they're good. I forgot all about that. So I think it's to their benefit, but it's weird how the pitching matchups, when you get one or two great pitchers, that usually decides things. So I'm going to lean against the Cubs going to the World Series. How's that?
Okay. As long as you're being honest, that's what we would expect.
There's no rooting interest there. Right. I just, you know.
I would say
if they go, great. But I couldn't care less.
I would say this as we let you go, that I think that the one thing that I think that your relationship with us and what, you know, you would do, the stupid things we didn't, you know, have fun with and everything was really good. And the one thing that I think that a lot of the greatest broadcasters who ever live have a commonality, and it's really very simple, that no matter how great you are, no matter what you're doing, it could be any event, but that you somehow, in the middle of all of it, still retain that very common man touch. And I think you do that as well as anybody who's ever done it. And I mean, I'm talking about some of the great guys that I've met in my life who could do that, who were, you know, just legends and remarkable at what they did. But they were just like the guy in the bar stool next to you if you sat down and talked to him. Now, there's a handful of guys like that, not all for sure, but you're one of those guys. I think if you look at how's Dan Patrick last? Well, he's lasted long because of who he is. It's very simple. It's not a puzzle. You don't have to put this together to figure this out.
Well, I wanted to have a shelf life. That's I didn't want to have a gimmick. I wanted to have a shelf life. And I do think having, you know, five brothers and sisters will keep you humble. And,
exactly.
You know, my dad died at 54, so he missed everything. So there was rarely a moment where I didn't think, how would he want me to act or be or who are you? And he was a very humble person, very, very humble, very shy. And I always, it's never lost on me that, you know, present yourself in the way that your brothers and sisters are going to be proud, or your parents. So that's always resonated with me. But thank you very much for those kind words.
Dan, great stuff. Always, yep. Always fun catching up. Thank you for the time. Not just today. I mean, for 25 years, man. Thank you very much. Love it.
Hi, buddy. Love you. Right. Thanks for the call, and we'll talk soon.
You bet. You go it. Listen to Foghat now. Dan Patrick.
Exactly what he's doing.
That ring familiar to you, that last thought about his dad not being around long enough to see success?
Yeah,
I thought it did. We'll take a timeout. It's McNeil and Boers broadcasting from the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Studio on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.